On a day like today, when Pope Francis shines the light on the stories and on the reality of refugees and migrants, millions of people suddenly become somebody. Most other days, however, as I discovered chatting to Kabir Hazara from Afghanistan, it can be extremely difficult for many to even feel visible in a city like Rome. Yes, because even although World Refugee Day is annually celebrated under the auspices of the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, and many humanitarian agencies and organisations have taken the opportunity both to highlight the plight of refugees and also to point out some of the recent and welcome efforts being made worldwide to help improve the lives of refugees and their families. As the International Catholic Migration Commission notes, the simple chain of shared hope and responsibility, one which begins first with seeing refugees and ensuring them protection from persecution, and then looks to sharing and seeking solutions. First of all, refugees must be seen. Startlingly invisible, most than half of the world's refugees have been in camps for more than 10 years, and nothing seems to have changed. Many of them seem to become visible only as boat people or while crossing borders that are especially life-threatening. But getting back to Kabir Hazara, whom I met close to the Centro Astalli soup kitchen, where he often hangs out, I was given the chance of personally getting to meet someone who has been forced to flee for his life. Someone who told me of his dangerous journey across borders and mountains in the hope of building a better future for himself. He told me of a difficult past and of his hopes for tomorrow over a cappuccino at a rather noisy open-air cafe in Piazza Venezia.
I was born in Uruzgan. Uruzgan is near to Kabul, near to Herat, Kandahar, and is a mountain areas, most of our areas is a streams of water, trees, like a fields. And most of the people are Pashtuns there.
It's a beautiful, beautiful area.
It's a beautiful area, my Uruzgan, my country. Home sweet home.
Kabir was telling me that he used to run kites. For anyone who's read The Kite Runner, they know what that means.
I used to run kites in my countries. Not a big kites, small kites. I used to run kite on the roof of my house.
Were you good?
Yeah, I was very nutty in my childhood.
An ordinary, happy childhood, playing ordinary childhood games in a place called home. Today, Kabir is 30 years old. You are young, I exclaim. No, he replies, I'm not young anymore, and I have not been able to marry.
This is because if I would marry, I knew the condition of Afghanistan. There is always war. There was always war in Afghanistan.
Kabir is of the Hazara ethnic group, right?
Yeah.
So you were persecuted by the Pashtuns.
Yeah, we have been under the domination of the Taliban.
And even if you have not read that beautiful novel by Khaled Hosseini entitled The Kite Runner, you will know, I'm sure, that the Talibans Kabir is referring to are members of the predominantly Pashtun fundamentalist religious and political movement that brutally governed Afghanistan from 1996 until 2001. It was during their rule that the Hazara ethnic group, to which Kabir belongs, was declared not Muslim and thus persecuted and often killed.
Tell me about your escape from Afghanistan. How did it happen? Where did you go?
It's about 2 years ago, in the beginning of 2007, I think, I left Afghanistan. I left Afghanistan in the night. I escaped from there. I just directly came towards Iran.
Did you have to pay illegal smugglers to get through?
Yeah, I paid about $5,000, $4,000 or $5,000 till Italy.
What route did you follow? You went from Afghanistan into?
I entered from Afghanistan from the way of Herat. Herat is the border, like near to Iran. I entered in Iran, then I came to Tehran. I've been in Tehran 1 month. When I saw the conditions, it was very difficult there for the refugees. There was no immigration. That's why then I made up my mind to leave this country.
In Tehran, Kabir told me, he found what he called some agents to whom he gave an extra $2,000 to take him to Turkey.
Sometimes with bus, sometimes with the small trucks, with the 50 people, 60 people, like sitting like this, about to travel 4 hours, 5 hours. Especially we used to travel on the night. Because on the day, it's impossible to travel.
Were there children? Were there women?
No, without children, without women. We just consist of boys and men there. Used to travel 4 hours, 5 hours on the night to climb over the mountain. Sometimes to travel 4 hours, sometimes 8 hours, without food, without water, to pass the checkpost, and the truck will come to picked us from there, and again they drop us on the houses of the, like there are houses of the Kurdish people.
Were the drivers of these trucks, were they paying the checkpoint guards to let you get through?
No, they're not paying. We are smuggling from the illegal way. We were smuggled from the illegal way. They're not paying to the checkpost guards because the Iranian agents, the agents who are living in Iran, the agents who are in Turkey, they linked. They are in connection, they're connecting with each other.
So it was a dangerous journey?
Yes, it was a very dangerous journey. I took a great risk of life.
So while Kabir and his companions risked their lives packed in trucks and creeping through border posts at night, other ruthless but poor and probably equally desperate people were making their money running the terrible smuggling rings that effectively do manage to get hundreds of thousands of people illegally across borders and hopefully into safety. Kabir himself reached Italy after a perilous journey through Iran, Turkey, Greece, and the former Yugoslavia.
Why our women can't approach here? Because it's difficult for them. How they climb over the mountain, how they cross the checkpost.
So you were climbing, you were actually walking over the mountains?
Yeah, walking and climbing over the mountain, walking like this.
In the night?
In the night, yeah. Because why our women is not coming here? Because we are Muslim. Because our women, you know, is strictly in covered faces. If they come on the night, there are agents, they can do anything with them.
So what happens to the women?
Many of them would prefer to go in Pakistan, Iran, like this. But they're living in black in Iran, without any document.
You mean illegal?
Illegal.
Where is the rest of your family? In Pakistan, you were saying?
Rest of my family now is in Pakistan.
So you're here alone?
Yeah, I'm alone here.
Yes, today Kabir is alone and without many prospects for the future. The Italian government has not granted him with refugee status, but he told me has given him a document on humanitarian grounds that allows him to stay in Italy for 3 years as he finds work and pays taxes. As I was saying, I met Kabir through an organisation called Jesuit Refugee Service, which provides Kabir and many others with a meal a day at its soup kitchen near Piazza Venezia. Kabir is grateful to the organisation and to the people he has met at JRS, but he says this is not what he came for.
What is the benefit of this food? They are providing food. I did not come here to stand on the line of food here. If you come here, you see there are so many people who are standing long here, like 30 minutes, 40 minutes on the line. I have to stand like... Sometimes I feel like I'm a beggar. Sometimes I feel like I'm a prisoner. I left my country to come here for food. Is this the meaning of life, that I have to stand on the line? I feel really great shame that when I stand on the line for food. I was not like this in my country. We had a house, we had a home, we had food, we had work, everything.
What he didn't have, he stresses, was political and religious freedom.
The main problem is war, due to enmity.
And persecution. You were saying that the Pashtuns are very, very cruel.
The Pashtuns people, it's truly, they are very cruel, and most of them Taliban. And our Hazaras is Northern Alliance. Who is Northern Alliance? They are supporter of Americans. They are working, if you go in Afghanistan, most of them, the interpreter? Most of them are Hazaras people, working with Americans.
So you're really a political refugee.
Yeah, because I've been with Americans. I was interpreter in Afghanistan. But it's really difficult, it's really dangerous to work with Americans.
Yes, because although the US has ended its combat activity in Afghanistan And although President Hamid Karzai was democratically elected in 2004, the sad reality is that Afghanistan has suffered from sustained conflict for almost 30 years. And the enduring paradigm is that of abusive power holders preying on the local populations. The power holders change, from absolute monarchs to Afghan communists, from the Soviet military to the Taliban, and now to groups of re-empowered warlords. But the problem remains the same: a highly personalized rule, a culture of impunity, and the abuse of large sections of the population on ethnic, regional, tribal, or sectarian grounds.
What are your hopes, Kabir? What do you think? What is going to happen in your life now? What do you hope is going to happen?
Actually, I couldn't think what shall I do, because now I'm from 2 years. At the beginning when I came here, I did not know the condition of Italy. In the beginning, I thought all of the European countries is equal. Why I left the Greece? Because in Greece there is no immigration. There was no immigration in Greece. It's a very worse life there. If you go to see the Patras, the people who are living like in the tent, they are not providing food. Living, there is no any showers. Most of them are trying to get from Patras, a big ship port. They are trying to get in Italy. Why they are coming here? Why they are prefer to come in Europe and other European countries for the better future of life, for the peace environment?
Kabir told me he thinks, however, that he may be better off in countries such as England, Sweden or Norway, where he thinks the government may be able to help him with a job.
I no need to go to the Caritas, no need to go to stand for the food hours, 1 hour and a half hours on the stand on the line of food. I feel shame because I'm Muslim.
Speaking to Kabir, I realized he discerns, understandably perhaps, between political refugees and economic migrants. To the former of whom, he says, refugee status should be granted together with concrete help from the government as far as employment is concerned.
What work would you like to find?
I can work any type of work. I don't feel any shame or inferiority to do any work.
You say you speak 5 languages. That's a skill.
Yeah, especially at this time I'm finding to learn any skill works. Like pizzeria, like camerieri on the hotels.
A waiter, a pizza maker, a hotel receptionist, anything will do. But Kabir is getting increasingly depressed as he finds it increasingly difficult to find light at the end of the tunnel to salvation.
When we first started speaking, you spoke to me of Afghanistan. You said home sweet home. Would you like to go back home if the situation there changes?
Afghanistan is such a country that from 50 years is war. According to me, that country is not going to prosper anymore. It's not going towards development.
Kabir, tell me what do you see in your future?
I can't see any sign of future in this country. My 2 years now passed, I couldn't find any job. I didn't get any advantage from this country. If I've been here, I think my 3 years is passed like doing nothing, useless.
What do you want for your life, wherever it may be?
I think for me, I would like to apply for a document in Norway. For my future, like a Norway, Sweden, I would prefer, like a Denmark. I like such a countries.
Would you like to get married?
At this time, no, because I'm not in such a condition. Even I can't support myself at this time. How can I support my wife? When I got everything, like a house, job, then I would like to marry.
Would you marry a Norwegian girl or would you look for an Afghani girl?
No, Afghani, at least Afghani, no. I would like to marry with any Christian. Yeah, I'm Muslim, but I especially like English people. I would like to marry with any English girl. If I would marry with an English girl, I would not force her to leave, to change your religion. Whatever she demands, I would follow her.
Kabir's is just one of the many millions of stories of refugees who populate the world today. He is just one of the simply dressed, but clean and incredibly dignified young men I pass by without really seeing on the streets every day. His is a story of ordinary fear, of ordinary bravery, of ordinary loneliness, and of ordinary desperation in an often blinkered society in which seeing can actually mean saving, and in which sharing can actually mean seeking for a real solution.